readings from Jude on page 1027. If you've got one of these older Bibles, it's on page 1234, which is quite cool, isn't it? From verses 17 through to verse 25 of Jude. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. And thank you to Fee for praying for us as well. It's great to add my welcome to the welcome you've already had. My name's Chris, and I'm going to be speaking to us from this passage, actually a number of other passages in the New Testament this morning, as we grapple with the idea of praying in the Spirit. Now, if you've not been with us over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called Reviving Our Prayers, and we've been digging deep into some incredible Bible prayers. Now, I guess you might have been left feeling excited about what we've been thinking about, but you could also have been left feeling disappointed as you think about your own prayer life. Have you found yourself thinking, "No, this whole prayer thing is just a real challenge for me?" It's great to think about what the apostles in the Bible have written about what they prayed, but my prayer life just seems so far removed from that. Perhaps when you pray, it just feels like you're talking to yourself rather than to the living God. Or perhaps you've been left feeling guilty. You know that you should pray, that it's good for you, but you just never seem to have the time or the energy to actually do it. Or maybe you've been left actually with a real desire to pray. You've been excited by the kind of things we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. But the prayers that we've been looking at just feel so big and grand and eloquently written that you've been feeling like, well, maybe you don't really know how to begin praying. You don't have the kind of eloquence of the Apostle Paul, so you're a bit nervous about praying. Well, I mean, what if you say something silly before God? You might perhaps give prayer a go at home in the comfort of your own personal space, but when it comes to praying with others, well, that's way out of your comfort zone. Well, no matter how your prayer life is at the moment, what we're looking at this morning, I hope and pray, will be a help and an encouragement to each of us to help us pray more and to help us pray with more confidence. Because what we're going to see as we look at Jude and a number of other passages is that prayer isn't something we do alone. Prayer isn't something we do alone. Did you know that? It's not about us and our ability. It's a joint activity between us and God. Which is why when Jude writes his letter to some early Christians, he writes to them and he tells them to do something called praying in the Spirit. It's in verse 20. Now, I guess when we first read those words, they sound a bit mysterious, don't they? Praying in the Spirit. What's that? What's it all about? Is it something for super spiritual, super Christians who've been going as Christians for a long time and have learnt some special technique that allows them to kind of level up their prayers? Well, no. As we dig into this further, we're going to discover what it really means is that we as Christians have God's Holy Spirit, God himself, at work within us to help us pray. And so praying in the Spirit is everyday prayer for every Christian. Praying in the Spirit is everyday prayer for every Christian. And once we've seen what it is, we'll then spend some time thinking about, well, why is it important? And we'll see that praying in the Spirit is essential prayer for enduring Christians. If we're going to keep going, it is something we need to be doing. So firstly, praying in the Spirit is everyday prayer for every Christian. Very simply, if you're a Christian here this morning and you pray, then you already know what praying in the Spirit is, even if you've never heard the phrase praying in the Spirit. It's everyday, ordinary Christian prayer. There is no true Christian prayer that can be made without the help of God's Spirit, because there's no true Christian who does not have God's Holy Spirit living in their hearts. You see, ever since the day of Pentecost, which we're celebrating this morning, when Jesus, having ascended into heaven, sent his Holy Spirit down to his disciples to help them, in Acts chapter 2, the normal Christian experience is that God's Spirit comes and lives within us. Now, it's as we grasp what that really means that actually we're helped to pray and to know how to pray. Now, we see really clearly in our passage this morning this distinction between those who are Christians who have the Spirit and those who are not. Now, it's worth us knowing Jude has been warning the Christians that he's writing to about a bunch of people who are trying to turn them away from their faith. They want to depart from the things that have been revealed and teach something different. He describes these troublemakers in verse 19 like this. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Devoid of the Spirit. These people who are trying to do things for their own gain, rather than to glorify God, well, they don't have the Spirit. But the contrast he then makes is with the Christians he's writing to, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Do you see that clear contrast? Those he's writing to who have the Holy Spirit are to pray in the Holy Spirit. But those who would lead them away are devoid of the Spirit. Now, a phrase, in the Spirit, could be translated with the Spirit or by the Spirit. So don't get too hung up on the in that's there, as though it's some kind of special place or spiritual state that we have to enter into in order to pray. Now, instead, it's because the Spirit is in us already, as Christians, that Jude encouraged us to pray in or by him. But if we're to really get our heads around what that means and why it's such good news for us, we need to understand what being a Christian is all about. And at the heart of it, that it's about a relationship with God. Having the privilege of calling God our Father. This really gets us to the heart of Christian prayer and Christian life. How is it that we can pray our Father to God? Well, I guess as I stand here next to the bread and the wine that we're going to share later on, one of the answers is obvious. The answer you'll be expecting me to say is, well, it's because of what Jesus has done for us, his death and his resurrection. And I want to say, absolutely, that's part of the answer. That's part of how we can call God Father. But it's not the whole answer. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 6. It's on page 974 of the New Church Bibles, and it's on page 1171 of the older Church Bibles. It's also on the screen if you want to follow it there. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Did you notice that every member of the Trinity is at work here? God the Father sends his Son to redeem us, to set us free from our slavery to sin. And his purpose? That we might be adopted as sons. Now, that son word is really deliberate. It was sons in this day and age when it was written that inherited. To be adopted as a son is to be given the privilege and the right of inheritance. And because we've been made sons by the work of Jesus, God the Father follows through verse 6 by sending the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit Jesus has, described there as the Spirit of his Son. And he sends that same Spirit into our hearts so that we can call God Father. You see, it's having the Spirit that enables us not just to be children of God on paper, to kind of have the legal declaration that we've been adopted, but actually to live like it. To see and to relate to God the Father as our Father. To call him Dad. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray as a beloved child of the God of the universe. Now, what a world of difference that makes, doesn't it? Or at least what a world of difference it should make. Because we are actually God's children, if we're Christians. As God's Spirit enters into our hearts, he helps us to know and experience and that reality and relate to God as his children. I just want you to imagine for a moment that you were an orphan. That as a young child, your parents died and you were taken off into care. You longed to be part of a family again, to have a mum and a dad. And for many long years you wait. You wait, no one seems to come. But then one day you get through the post a letter, a really formal letter that declares you've been adopted by a great king. This king has done all the legal paperwork. It's all been signed off. It's official. You're his son. You're going to inherit all of his great wealth. But then imagine that's the last you hear of it. You never go to the palace. You never get to meet your dad, who's legally your dad. You never get to know him as your father. You never get to hug him. I mean, how much are you missing out on? And yet, I think for many of us, living as though our adoption as children of God, as though it's just a purely legal declaration, is one of the big problems at the heart of our prayer lives. We think that it's kind of a declaration that we're God's children rather than a living reality, that we get to actually come into the palace and relate to the King of the universe as Dad. Just think back to your childhood. When and how would you talk to your mum and dad? Would you just talk to them every few days when you really needed something? Would you get really worried about whether you were using the right kind of words? Would you wonder if they were really all that bothered about what you had to say? Well, I'm guessing that for most of us the answer is no, isn't it? Certainly I know that my own children come and talk to me whenever and wherever they want, even when it's not particularly convenient. They just want to talk, don't they? They want to talk. And when we were kids, I'm sure we did the same. They don't worry about saying something silly or wrong. They just love to relate. And you know what? I love to hear them. Our son Samuel is nearly 2, and he's really just entering into this whole world of speaking. And for most people who hear him, they've probably got no clue what he's talking about. But for us, when we hear him going k-k-k at breakfast time, we know he wants some milk on his cereal. He's got the k down, the rest of the word isn't there. He calls our daughter Emily, A, A.
And when he wants to watch his favourite television programme, Peppa Pig, he just grunts. Okay? But here's the thing. We love to hear him talk. We listen to what he's saying and we respond accordingly. We don't tell him off for getting the words wrong. We don't say, well, we're not really going to engage with you, Sam, until you can speak in good full sentences and you've got it all together. We want to hear him. And we relate to him according to what he's said and what he's able to say. And if that's what we as human parents do, how much more is that the case with our Heavenly Father? You've been adopted as God's sons. Listen to what Michael Reeves says in this great little book, Enjoy Your Prayer Life. He says, it may be that your heart is cold, your love is weak, and your prayers are shabby. But what matters is that united to Christ and in him, you are a cherished son, and your Father delights to hear you. Is that how you think about prayer? What a wonderful privilege we have. So look, don't wait until you've got the whole prayer thing right before you start praying. Don't let not knowing how to pray put you off. Instead, think about this. You are a child of God. So think about his incredible love. That meant he was literally willing to send his son Jesus from heaven to hell in order to make you one of his dearly loved children. Reflect on his incredible kindness to you, and then you'll realize that prayer isn't some abstract activity. Some boring task to tick off the spiritual to-do list. But a beautiful, intimate moment of connection between you and your heavenly dad. Whether happy or sad, weeping or rejoicing, anxious, afraid, disappointed, excited, depressed, hesitant or numb, come to your Heavenly Father. By the Spirit of adoption, knowing that he's eager to hear what's on your heart and to shape you as you talk to him. And even when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Romans 8 verse 26 says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I'd never noticed this before. Did you notice that the normal Christian experience expected in these verses is not knowing what to pray for, as we ought. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You see, in those moments, in our weakness and our deficiency, God's Spirit is with us and for us, praying alongside us, to God the Father on our behalf. And so praying in the Spirit is everyday prayer for every Christian. It's an incredible, wonderful privilege. Just because it's something we can do every day, don't lose sight of the incredible wonder of what it is to come before your Father, to speak with him every day. Well, secondly, if we turn back to Jude, if you've flicked away from it, we see that praying in the Spirit is essential prayer for enduring Christians. Essential prayer for enduring Christians. Now, I guess if we haven't already glimpsed enough of the why we should pray from what we've been speaking about already, Jude makes it abundantly clear for us. And what does he say? And why does he say we need to pray? Verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So what's the reason that Jude gives in verse 21? For why we should pray? To keep yourself in the love of God and to wait for Jesus Christ to return. Now, you might be sat there thinking, what on earth are you talking about? The love of God is a gift, isn't it? Being saved by God and enjoying His love is all of God's grace to us. That's what we sung at the start of the service. So how can Jude say to us that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God? By being built up in faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it then make it about us rather than about God? Can't I then kind of claim some credit in this? But very simply, it is by learning to trust God each day, being built up in our faith and doing that actively by praying, that we keep going as Christians. In fact, it's the only way we keep going, is by relating to God, of being who He's now made us to be through the work of Jesus. That's what He's saved us for, to be His children. So if we're kind of not wanting to talk to Him, if we don't want to know Him more, then what does that say about what we really want? Are we really His children? Let me illustrate to try and help us. Just imagine that next Saturday I invited you over for a banquet at my house. And I'm going to lay on a 3-course exquisite dining experience for you. There's some nice food coming up on the screen here to get your mouth watering. Nice roast meal. I'm even going to send a chauffeur-driven car to your house to pick you up. It's called an Uber. They'll come and get you. And then you'll come over, I'll have laid out the table, there'll be knives and forks there for you to use. You arrive. What do you have to do to enjoy that generous gift of this incredible meal that I've laid out for you? What have you got to do? You've got to eat it, haven't you? You've got to pick up a knife and fork and eat it. I mean, you could just sit there and enjoy the smells and the sight of it. But to really make the most of it, you've got to eat it. Now, does that then mean that you can claim credit for the meal? Look at all the hard work I've done. Chopping up that food to put it in my mouth. Haven't I done a great job? You see, although God isn't offering us a massive banquet, He's offering us Himself. And He's given us all the means of His grace to help us enjoy it. His Spirit coming and living in our hearts. But He then gives us some responsibility to make sure that we can enjoy it to its fullest. By being built up in faith. By praying. That's what Jude is saying here. He calls them beloved. Verse 20. They are dearly loved children. God has lavished them and us with His love. But we need to take active steps to enjoy the gift of living in that love each day, don't we? And one of the main ways that God has given us to do that is through prayer. Prayer is the evidence and the exercise of true faith. It both shows that we know the honour that we have to be God's children. To not pray, it is to ignore the relationship that we've been saved for. But it also allows us to demonstrate our utter faith-filled dependence on Him by saying, God, I can't do all of this on my own. I need Your help. I need Your work in me. And this is essential because, as Jude said in verse 24, it is only God that can keep us from stumbling. If we try and do it in our own strength, without God, ignoring Him, thinking, actually, I can get along in the Christian life without praying. But Jude corrects us and says, it is only God who can keep us from stumbling. We will falter if we try and do that. Hence Jude's warning that if we're not growing, and that's both individually and as a church in faith and prayer, then we will not keep on going in faith. Because here he is writing to a group of Christians. And when he says building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, he's not just imagining one Christian believer on their own building themselves up in faith and praying, but actually a group of Christians helping one another in that task. It's as we grow that we will keep on going. Praying in the Spirit is essential for enduring Christians. There is a real danger. There is a real danger that if we are prayerless or prayer light as a church and as individuals, we might stop enjoying the love of God. His love is there for us. We're beloved children. But if we stop praying and relating to Him as Father, we might stop enjoying that love. And as a result, we might then stop walking with God, finding something else more lovely than Him. And so, we have a responsibility to one another, to help one another keep walking that path, by encouraging one another in faith, and encouraging one another in prayer. Now, it's possible that you know lots of Christians who struggle to pray. I know that prayer has not always been easy for me. And so you hear me saying, well, let's pray more this morning, and that kind of gets you a little bit worried. You're thinking, well, how can I do that? Is it really all that important or essential? You know, God seems to have kept me going with a little bit of prayer for a long time now. But God's grace in sustaining us with a little prayer shouldn't turn us away from pursuing a deeper and more meaningful prayer life, should it? As with any relationship, there's always a deeper, more satisfying and fulfilling enjoyment of that person on offer. But it needs time and investment. Praying, I think, is a little bit like a snowball rolling down a hill. Once you get started, it builds momentum. It gets bigger and stronger. It starts small and weak. It looks like, you know, the pathetic thing rolling down the hill. But as it goes down a big mountain, as you pray more and more, it builds, it gets bigger, and it gets stronger. And once you get started with prayer, you realize the joy of relating to God as your Father, of bringing everything into Him in prayer. So I want to encourage each of us this morning, before you leave this building, to set aside time to pray each day this week alone. Have a think about a moment when you can take 10 minutes set aside to pray, to relate, to talk to God as your Father. Put it in the diary. Why not tell someone else when you're thinking of doing it so that they can ask you next week, actually, how did that go? How have you found that? You might want to start meeting with someone else regularly to pray if you find prayer difficult. Help you get started. Learn from others. Perhaps for you, a good next step would be to try praying out loud in a prayer meeting, recognizing that actually praying isn't just about us and God, but it's about how we encourage one another as well. Or perhaps there will be a moment where it will be right for you to offer to pray for someone else this morning. We might not know what to pray for the situation or the circumstance that someone shares with us. But we are together as God's children this morning. And God would have us bring ourselves and our situations and our circumstances before Him together. For though our words may be fumbling, though we might not get it right, every time we pray, we're praying by the Spirit. He is praying with us, and He's praying for us. And this is one of the ways that God's going to keep us going until we see Him face to face. That's what we're getting ready for. At the moment, we're not face to face with the living God. But one day we will see our Father with His arms outstretched, ready to welcome us to be with Him forever. So let's get ready for that day by being those who pray to him every day, knowing him, delighting in him, enjoying him, as we will forever. Well, as we close now, let me pray the words of verses 24 and 25 for each of us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.